Welcome to the Sci-Fi Christian, bringing you theology at warp speed. I'm Matt Anderson.
And I am Ben DiBono. Good to be back again for another week of recording, Matt.
That's right. We are back for another week, and this is going to be a great, great episode about a topic I don't know a lot about.
That's true. We have done a lot so far, not a lot because we're only seven episodes into this podcast, but so far we've talked about things like science fiction. We had a good fantasy episode with our Tolkien Lewis debate. Mm-hmm. We've hit on superheroes a couple times, but the one area of genre fiction we have yet to touch on is
Horror.
So I feel like we need to insert creepy music there or something.
Yeah, what happened there? And you touch the computer like you're going to hit something.
Then I realized I didn't have anything to hit. Disappointing moment there.
Do it again. And you say horror and I've got a sound.
Okay. We're talking about horror.
Bum, bum, bum.
I think that was even more disappointing than no sound at all, but it was a good effort. So, yeah, part of the reason we haven't talked about this is that you're not a huge horror fan, as you mentioned in our pilot episode.
Yeah, I think I've mentioned more than once that it's not that I don't like horror. I don't like gore, and I don't like blood and people getting cut open or things like that.
You just don't like to be scared out of your mind.
You know, it's not really even I guess sometimes it is a scary thing, because I don't like being suddenly... Like, you know, like somebody's walking around, it's dark, you know something's about to jump out.
Yeah.
I don't like being startled.
Yes.
I don't like the feeling of startledness.
Yeah, all the tension and, oh my gosh, someone's going to leap out and kill that teenager and that'll be so horrible.
But mostly I don't like the graphic images
involved.
It's not really about being scared, because even thrillers, they can kind of make you tense.
So yeah.
It's not that. It's
more just the graphic nature of it.
Yeah, graphicness.
Yeah, because you don't even like war movies that much.
Correct. Say, that's a perfect example.
Yeah.
Right.
So for you, it's probably more gore and everything. Though you did watch, and we'll get to your reactions to this a bit later when we get to the main topic, but you did watch the amazingly funny movie Shaun of the Dead this weekend.
I did. In preparation for tonight's episode, I watched two zombie movies on Sunday.
Yes. Shaun of the Dead and
Zombieland.
And I've only seen Zombieland once, so I don't remember how graphic it is. But Shaun of the Dead is fairly graphic in a couple places.
It is.
Yes, the part with the guy's intestines being ripped.
That was by far the worst part.
It's pretty disgusting, but a great movie.
But let's not jump ahead of ourselves.
No.
I think we have some sci-fi news.
Yeah, well, first what I wanted to just mention, though, before we get into that, is the Stand read-along. We have just completed week two. I have just completed week two.
Okay, wait, I should have brought it in with me. I read on my lunch break today to catch up.
And you're caught up through chapter six.
Well, let me tell you where I'm at, and then you can tell me if I've caught up. Because
okay.
I don't know what chapter I was on. Okay, so I've just met the character Larry Underwood, who is a musician, and he is in the kitchen talking with his mom.
Yes.
And she just offered to let him stay with her. And so
that's chapter five.
Oh, rats.
So you're one chapter. But that's okay. You're doing good.
Yeah.
So if you don't know what we're talking about, we started a couple episodes back, the Stand read-along. We have a read-along plan that's going to take us through September because it's like an 1,100-page book.
Yeah.
So you can go online to our website, which is
SciFiChristianPodcast.com.
And scroll down to a few posts ago, and you can click the link, bring up the Stand read-along plan, and download that, and read The Stand by Stephen King with us.
I was thinking, Ben, and I haven't told you about this yet, but what do you think about having some separate episodes from our main topics of the week? Maybe short 10-minute episodes just saying what's been going on with Stand this week.
Yeah, maybe once a month or so we can check in and...
Yeah.
What's going on with Stan this week? I like it.
So
cool. Are you enjoying the book so far?
Yeah, I really like it.
It's been good.
I'm still obviously very early in it, but I really like it.
Yeah, I mean, you don't even know what's going on for the first few hundred pages.
I have an idea, but I kind of knew a little bit about it before I even started.
Yeah, so if you haven't been reading The Stand with us, we're going at a slow pace
because
Matt
slow.
And I are pretty busy guys, so you can totally catch up. It's not too late to jump in.
You made us sound so important. We're really busy. No, it's just that there's a lot.
We're college students and we both work and, you know, we do ministry stuff.
Graduate college students.
That's true.
Work.
Yes.
And lives. Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, if you want to read The Stand with us, and you know you do, go check that out.
I was told by three different people from church this week that they're doing it with us.
Awesome.
So,
that's fantastic.
That is good.
Including our pastor, Skip Crest.
That's
hey,
right.
Skip.
And his wife. And
Carolyn
our friend, Crest. And our friend Casey.
Awesome. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I forgot the case we was reading with it, with us. All right, so should we get to sci-fi news?
Let's do it.
It's time for sci-fi news.
Whoa, sorry about that. I kind of hit that.
Just totally whacked the microphone, man.
Ben, I prepared this week.
Just pulled a piece of paper out of your wallet.
I didn't want to forget it. In light of last week's calling me out that I didn't have any news prepared, the first thing I did when I got to work this morning is scan the last week of news. So,
well, you tell me what you got for us, and then I have some news items, and we'll see if
Let's
I have anything
here. I've got
not.
Some casting updates, I've got some potential new movie updates, and I've got something about Firefly.
Oh, yeah.
You got that one?
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's start with that, because I think people need to join us in this.
Yes, so Nathan Fillion, who is, of course, the star of Firefly, Captain Mal Reynolds, has said this week that he wants to continue the show. He wants the show to come back and basically have either a relaunch or season two or whatever.
Even like a reboot, I heard.
Yeah.
A possible reimagining.
Which I'd be, as long as we get more Firefly, I'm good with
that. As long as Joss is involved.
Totally. But what was interesting is that, you know, it's like, okay, he's just saying this in an interview, but then two Firefly writers tweeted that they were totally on board with this.
They're involved in other projects, so they're basically saying, I'll drop what I'm doing now to do this again.
Well, and one of them, I didn't know who the other guy is, but one of them, Jane Espenson, is actually one of the main, she's been one of Joss Whedon's main writing partners throughout his career. She was one of the, I think, the main story editor on Buffy for most of its run.
Is she the one that's on Bones? Because I think one of them is involved with Bones right now.
I'm not sure. She was also a writer on Battlestar and Caprica.
Oh, wow.
So Jane Espenson is one of the awesome sci-fi writers out there.
I should find out more about her.
Yeah, she's good. Actually, that book you gave me on Firefly for Christmas, she was the editor of that book. It was for those of you who weren't there when Matt gave me the book, which is no one outside of you and me.
Yeah.
this is a book that's a collection of essays by different sci-fi fantasy authors about Firefly. Really good stuff. And Jane Espenson was the editor of that. So how would you feel about a Firefly reboot, Matt? We're both huge fans of the show.
Well, I'm hoping that they can in some way incorporate... I'm fine with the reboot because I believe that they could still do a good job, but I'd rather if it was a continuing of the story we've already seen.
Okay, spoiler alert for the next 30 seconds regarding the movie Serenity.
Yeah.
The only issue that I would have with that is that I really don't like the fact that Shepherd Book is dead.
Yeah, I know. Me either.
I'm
going to miss Wash, too.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, so...
There's a part of me that wishes if they would do it, they'd just redo Serenity.
Like just as if Serenity never happened.
Exactly. That's what I mean. Yeah.
That's not a bad idea.
I mean, I like Serenity, but without Book and Wash, that would really take the heart out of the show.
Yeah, I agree. So, let's see.
Okay, end of spoilers, but that would be a bummer. What else you got for me, Matt?
I've got tons of casting news. I'd love it if I could just run through it quickly.
Rattle them off.
Here we go. Adrian Palachi. Palachi.
Wonder Woman.
Yep.
Wait, you tell me the actor, and I'll see if I can guess the role.
Okay, but let me say some things, though. She was recently involved with Lone Star, which lasted exactly 2 episodes on Fox.
Beautiful.
I keep up on entertainment news pretty often, and I don't hear too often of a show getting canceled so quickly as poor Lone Star.
No, that was pretty fast.
And she was also more widely known from Friday Night Lights.
Which I have not seen, but
okay, good. So you want me to tell you the actor, and you're going to guess where they're part of?
Yes.
This is from, like, today. So, Kevin Costner.
Superman.
Yes, and do you know what part he might be up for?
No, I don't.
It's a three-way tie in rumoredness between Perry White, who is the editor of the paper.
Yep.
His dad, which I believe is it Jor-El? Is that Superman's dad?
Yeah, I think
Superman's fake dad, John? Is that his name? John Kent? I think so. One of those two. Okay, next. Mila Kunis.
Oh, I know who she is, but I don't know what role she would be playing.
She was cast as the Wicked Witch of the West in Sam Raimi's upcoming film Oz, the Great and Powerful.
Okay.
Do you think that would be pretty good?
No.
You don't like redoings of Wizard of Oz? Because there's going to be 2, I think, coming up soon.
Yeah, no. I guess I'll be open-minded about them. I don't have high hopes, but...
Do you know who this actress is? Mary Elizabeth Winstead?
Yes. Oh, Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
Yes. Do you know who she is?
Mary Lincoln.
Mary Todd Lincoln. Yeah. Yes. Do you know where we know her from?
She was in Die Hard 4.
Okay. But better than that? Come on. A movie that we talked about on the Sci-Fi Christian.
Oh, man. It's like on the tip of my brain and I can't figure it out.
She was Ramona.
Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Correct.
Yes.
Finally.
That's why I didn't remember, because I didn't like Ramona in that movie.
I loved her in that movie, and I loved the whole movie. Okay. Michael Emerson, one of my favorite actors, period.
Yes, who is Ben Linus from Lost, but yep. I don't know what he's going to be playing.
He's going to be in a new J.J. Abrams project called Person of Interest, and that's going to be on CBS next fall. Brief summary of it is an ex-CIA agent and a billionaire team up to help fight against and prevent crime in New York City.
J.J. Abrams has way, way too many projects going on.
Yeah, so he's going to play the billionaire in that movie, or in that TV show. You know the best J.J. Abrams show coming out next fall?
Is Alcatraz?
Yeah, for sure. I can't wait for that.
Beyond that, though, nearly every one of these other projects is going to suck.
This one doesn't sound that good, unfortunately. But
no.
We'll see.
Yeah. So, is that it for your news? I've got a few other items.
I have two other things, but you go next.
All right, so... We just talked about Superman a little bit, and there was a big rumor out this week that Superman may be in major trouble.
I heard about this.
And this actually came via another piece of news that Guy Ritchie has been offered the director's job for the prequel to 300,
yeah.
Xerxes. Mm-hmm. Zack Snyder, who's going to be directing Man of Steel, obviously directed the first 300 movie and did a brilliant job of it. I love 300. I know you haven't seen it.
I have not.
But you need to. It is an amazingly great movie.
Is it gory?
Oh, yeah.
So that's exactly the reason I haven't seen it?
Oh, yeah. But it's really, really a solid movie. So Guy Ritchie has been offered the director's chair in Xerxes because the studio's basically kicked Zack Snyder out. And the reason they've kicked him out is that the rumor is Superman is not going well in terms of production.
And so they're blaming it on Zack Snyder?
I don't know if they're blaming it on him, but the issue here is that I think it's that if the studio doesn't put a Superman movie into production this year, they will lose the rights to it. So whether it's Zack Snyder's fault or not, they have major issues. It sounds like it's the last third of the script that the problem is in, and the studio is very worried about it. They want Zack Snyder's concentration 100% on Superman. Just goes to
show.
The
studio owns the rights to both of the movies. Is that correct?
I think so.
Okay.
Don't hold me to that, but I think so. Just goes to show that even when someone as amazing as Christopher Nolan is involved, Superman still sucks.
Poor Superman. We have to have an episode about him just to make up for all the mean things you've said about him.
If we have an episode of Superman, do you have any idea how many mean things I'm going to say about him over the course of an hour?
That's a good point.
Okay. Then I have... Oh, this was one of the more interesting pieces of news this week. There's a writer whose name I forget at the moment who is planning to adapt the biblical character of Samson.
Dang it, you're stealing my thunder.
Oh, man, you had this one, too.
Yeah, that's good.
Into a futuristic sci-fi superhero movie.
Correct. That is...
This is like our show, man.
It's perfect for the sci-fi Christian.
I know. Yeah. I read that headline, and I was like, dude, this is so right up our alley.
Yes, I know. I mean, I don't know what they're going to do with it, but I heard, of course, they're going to incorporate Delilah. So it's like a Samson and Delilah from the future.
Yeah.
And Samson's powers are superhero, generated.
I'm on board for superhero Bible movies.
Yes.
That is set in the future, sci-fi, awesome.
Maybe we could help inspire some.
Maybe we could write the screenplay.
I guess
the story's about this guy writing the screen. Maybe we can direct.
That'd be great.
I can be Samson. You can be Delilah.
Well, that's acting. That's not directing.
Well, then I was thinking we could also act.
That's gross.
Yeah. Moving on. So the last piece of news I have, okay. Or do you want to go?
I have one less important one, but do you know who Shane Black is?
No, but I know he's directing Iron Man 3.
Yeah, he directed Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. Have you ever seen that movie?
I have not, but I believe it was produced by, I don't know.
Yep, and as also something to note for the sci-fi Christians out there, if you've heard of pulp hero Doc Savage or of the manga Death Note, Shane Black might also direct those. So it's like three movies are coming up possibly by Shane Black that all have a sci-fi element.
Cool. And then the last thing that I have got is Tom Hardy, who is going to be playing Bane in Dark Knight Rises. Mm-hmm. This is your Dark Knight Rises news segment of the week.
Oh my gosh.
I think it just needs to become its own segment on the Sci-Fi Christian.
Possibly.
He had an interview done this last week, and there were two very important pieces of information that came out.
I didn't watch the video, but I saw it this morning.
First thing was that Tom Hardy said he is signed for multiple Inception sequels.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
That doesn't mean they're going to happen, and it doesn't mean that there's any plans for them to happen, but it does mean that the studio has signed him for multiple sequels to Inception.
Wow, that's crazy.
How cool would that be?
I mean, it's cool, but where's the story going to go?
In Nolan, we trust.
But I like the idea of some movies just standing alone.
So do I. But if Nolan says, I got a sequel for it, and that's not what the story is, just to be clear.
Yeah.
But if Nolan says that, I'm so on board.
I don't want to talk about Inception right now for the sake of spoilers, but we should have a spoiler-filled episode about Inception.
Absolutely.
All right, let's do
and
it.
Soon. And then a second piece of news, which shouldn't be a shock to any of us, but comes as a great, great relief, is that Tom Hardy has confirmed that Bane in Dark Knight Rises will be nothing like Bane in Batman and Robin.
Yes, I heard that also, and I am very glad. I wasn't surprised, though. I figured Christopher Nolan was going to put together something quite awesome.
No, I wasn't surprised, but I was greatly relieved.
Good. And as we close the sci-fi news segment, Ben, you told me earlier today we have another voicemail call. Actually, this is...
Well, that's going to be listener feedback.
Don't we have one that leads us into our...
Yeah, we've got one for horror, but we should hit the music for the segment first.
Ah, do it.
Okay, I am doing it right now.
Very good.
Nice segue, huh?
All right. So you think that music was really worth it when I set you up so perfectly? You had your email open?
I didn't have it open yet, so I was just...
So here's the deal. Around. Last week, Scott actually emailed us in an MP3, so we did have our first ever audio feedback last week, but this week... We have our first ever voicemail feedback.
Yes, and our voicemail number is 612-412-1732. And also, it turns out that this voicemail is from Rick in Wisconsin.
Hey,
and
Rick.
He discovered, inadvertently, that there is a three-minute call limit
on
the voicemail. I did not realize this. But I think we'll keep it there because we don't want people monologuing for 20 minutes there. So we'll probably keep the three-minute limit in place. So just be aware of that.
Okay.
Call.
So he's going to be cut off. Is that what you're telling me?
I think so. But he makes some really good points about horror and our topic. So we'll take it away, Rick.
Hi, this is Rick from Wisconsin calling for the Sci-Fi Christian Podcast. And I saw your post on Facebook about discussing types of horror and debating the pros and cons of that genre. I would say I will watch horror. My wife really likes it more than me. I think gruesome deaths in horror movies do not really bother me, but I know some people that are very sensitive to that kind of stuff. To me, kind of the more graphic... the better. It doesn't bother me to see something graphic and gruesome. And usually I can remove myself from the film. The few horror movies that I've seen that actually truly frightened me in some way are movies that deal with the supernatural, because believing in the supernatural realm, believing that demons are real, that there is a spiritual battle going on, some films deal with that subject in a way that disturbs me, either treating it incorrectly or realistically can be frightening. The only other movie that really kind of scared me was when I saw Psycho 2 and the idea that at the end he got away with it and he was going to kill more people. The serial killer type movies is a little scary because that could also be real. There are some people in this world that actually do those things. But for the most part, the main reason I'll avoid a horror movie is because a lot of them contain nudity and I don't want to see that. But aside from that, if it's, I can usually handle it. So those are my thoughts on the subject. Thank you.
So Rick, it's kind of the opposite end of you when it comes to gore.
The more gruesome, the better.
The more gruesome, the better. And so while Matt's busy throwing up, Rick's sitting there, bring it on.
Yeah, while he was saying that, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I'm positive that Rick is also a fan of Fringe. And now that I think about it, Fringe actually opens with some pretty gruesome scenes. Nothing compared to some of the horror movies out there, right. But I mean they're pretty gross.
Yeah, I mean by network TV standards.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. But yeah, I thought Rick made some good points, and I wanted to play that kind of at the beginning, because I think that some of the stuff he talks about we'll get into here, especially when he's talking about the supernatural horror.
Yes, I really agree with him on that. So
yeah, and on both ends of that, that when we start asking the question, why do some Christians have issues with horror genre when it comes to movies about demons or whatever, well, we obviously believe that demons are real, mm-hmm. and we believe in the reality of spiritual warfare. So I thought Rick was made a great point hitting it on both ends, that we're bothered when it's either treated too lightly or when it's treated really realistically, because then yeah. it's kind of frightening and bothersome at that point.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned some Christians are bothered by it. I just realized I'm not really bothered with the genre. I don't feel offended by it. I just don't like it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, as a Christian, I guess I don't really have anything against it. Even though, of course, I mean, I guess I would have as much against it as I do against, like, raunchy comedies that are just inappropriate. I mean, if there's things that are inappropriate, I mean, I guess I have that against it, but I don't really take a hard stand against movies typically.
Yeah, your objection to horror isn't a moral objection, but more just a, I really don't want to sit through that.
Like my taste, I guess.
Yeah, it's a preference.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll convince you by the end of this episode, because I am actually a fan of quite a bit of the horror genre. Not all of it. I mean, I think a lot of it's pretty dumbed down and stupid. I'm not a fan of like Freddy and Jason and those types of movies as much.
I don't know if we're going to read any. Are we going to read any of the listener feedback we had on the Facebook page?
Only one we got was from Kobe, yeah, saying Kobe. He didn't like horror except for the Scream franchise.
Yeah, he loves Scream, and actually, I have seen all the Scream movies, and I would consider them a little bit more gentle. You know, they're kind of, are they approaching horror comedy to you?
I have not seen
any
of the Scream movies, so I have no opinion on the matter.
Maybe not horror comedy in the way of Shaun of the Dead, but still light horror.
Yeah, I mean, Shaun of the Dead is hysterical.
Pretty funny.
And we'll talk about that later, because, yeah. I mean, you even enjoyed it, and you're not a fan of the genre.
That's right.
So kind of where I thought we could start today is I wanted to talk about different types of horror, because I don't think that all Christians react to all horror the same way.
Okay.
So, since I am more of the horror fan here, I'll take the lead on this one, and you can give me your thoughts as we go along.
I appreciate that.
And you can let me know if there's any major subgenres from your vast experience of horror that I'm missing.
Bloody. Okay.
I think that's all of them.
Okay.
No. So the first one I have, I would call natural horror. I have three categories. Natural horror. And natural horror is things that are stuff like serial killer movies. Perfect example would be Silence of the Lambs.
Okay.
A movie that theoretically could happen.
That's messed up. I've seen that one.
Isn't it a great movie?
I had to watch it for a film class I was in once, I think. That was messed up.
Did you wind up terrified and scarred for life?
I think I closed my eyes a lot.
Yeah. It's actually, Silence of the Lambs is not a gory movie.
I think, if I remember correctly, I watched it quite a few years back, but isn't it kind of like what we were talking earlier about something coming around the corner, like that kind of suspense?
Towards the end,
yeah.
There's a scene when Jodie Foster's character is in the house of Buffalo Bill, who is the serial killer, and he turns off the lights, and he has on night vision goggles, and she can't see anything. Oh, so man. You see her, he can see her. It's absolutely terrifying. It's a really scary scene in that movie.
Okay.
So natural horror is anything like that where there's nothing supernatural going on. It could theoretically take place in our world. Serial killers. Another example would be a movie like Seven.
That
maybe
I like
you've
that
seen.
One.
Oh, that movie really bothered me.
Oh, okay.
So, wow. So you know, there's a horror movie that you are okay with that I was bothered by. Wow.
I have to admit, though, I watched the network television version.
Oh, that might be why. And then also something like the Saw franchise, which I've only seen the first movie, but obviously way over the top and super violent. But
I would never watch Saw.
Yeah.
Any of them, never.
Nah, there's no supernatural elements in the series, so anything like that. Second genre, subgenre. Would be monster horror.
Ooh, I kind of like monsters.
Yeah, I think this is one that probably most Christians don't really have an issue with. It's stuff like vampires,
zombies,
werewolves, you know, Frankenstein, whatever.
I'm really into zombies right now.
I know, zombies great?
You know what I really want to watch? I really want to watch the show Walking Dead.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen it yet?
No, but I really want to buy the graphic novels.
Well, yes, I'll read those, but I want to watch the show that was recently on.
Do you want to watch the show first or read the graphic novels first?
That's a good question. I don't really know the answer to that.
We should decide, and then we can either buy the graphic novels together or we can watch the show together.
Deal.
Because it's we could do that one together because it's only like 6 episodes long for the first season.
Okay.
So I really want to see it too.
Okay,
it looks great. Do you know who is the executive producer of that?
I do not.
Frank Darabont.
I don't know who that is.
He directed, and I might be pronouncing his last name wrong because it's French, but he directed Shawshank Redemption.
Oh, that, I borrowed it from you. And
are you the one who has it?
Yeah, I still haven't watched it.
Jerk!
I'm sorry. Are you? Does somebody else want to borrow it?
No, I was just sitting there wondering who had it the other day.
I don't care.
I just was curious about who had it. So mystery solved.
I need to watch it. I'm sorry.
It's one of my favorite movies of all time.
I know a lot of people said that.
He also directed The Green Mile, which is a great film. And The Mist, which is one of the most disturbing horror films I've ever seen.
Haven't seen it.
I will have to tell you about the ending later.
Okay.
Even though you don't like spoilers, there's no way you'll ever want to watch this movie.
Okay,
so I'll tell you about it offline. So anything like that involves more of a monster type thing, mummies, you know, whatever, anything like that, I'm categorizing it as monster horror. Not as creepy and disturbing as ghosts and all of that stuff, but more something tangible that you can latch on to.
Good.
And then the final subcategory is supernatural horror.
Supernatural. This is the one that Rick was talking about.
Yes, and this is we're dealing with things like ghosts or demons or anything like that.
Okay.
You know, I suppose that there's a little bit of crossover between supernatural horror and monster horror because obviously vampires would be a supernatural creature.
Well, I'm thinking more of like Omen.
Yeah.
Or Exorcist.
Right.
Or they just had one come out called The Rite, I think, or something.
Yeah.
Right? Is that what
Yeah, it's? Anything. And then I'd also lump in here stuff like The Shining, which is a great ghost story by Stephen King. And then, of course, the Jack Nicholson movie, which is also good in its own right.
Okay.
And I think that even though there might be some supernatural elements in the monster horror subgenre, there's a clear distinction between monster horror and supernatural horror.
I agree.
So, Matt.
Ben.
Those are some of our subgenres of horror.
What about horror comedy? We've been talking about that.
Well, horror comedy could be any of these, though.
Okay.
I mean, you could make a really funny movie about somebody being possessed by the devil, I suppose. You know, so I think horror comedy, I thought about that, and I knew you were going to bring that up. And my answer was that it could be any one of these.
Okay, that's fair.
I mean, you could make a funny serial killer movie, I guess.
That's sad. Well, kind of Scream, I think it's supposed to be like that.
There you go.
It's not hilarious, though, but I think it's supposed to be a little bit more funny.
Yeah, so something
I hope,
like
otherwise I just... You made the director feel bad.
Yeah. Well, if he listens to the Sci-Fi Christian, that'd be pretty cool.
Good point.
So, Christians have issues with horror. Why?
I don't know. This is hard for me to really answer because I don't personally, but I guess if I had to guess, I would say that it has to do with more of the supernatural stuff.
That's like the point one on my outline, man.
Yeah,
awesome.
I can't picture a lot of Christians being mad about werewolf movies. I mean, it's all...
I mean, somebody's going to get bent out of shape.
Yeah,
because there's always somebody who gets
bent out of
shape.
Just the same way that people get mad about Harry Potter for no reason.
Yeah, or even like Lord of the Rings people get mad about.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
People have too much time on their hands.
So I guess maybe Christians would most get upset about any sort of misrepresentation of biblical matters.
Yeah, or anything. I think that ghosts tend to be kind of a touchy subject.
I just thought of also, in a sense, movies like Saw glorify gore and killing.
Sure.
And I could see that being against what people believe.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can find that in other genres too, though.
Well, yeah, killing happens in dramas also, but, yeah,
but I mean,
it's not
I mean, you,
glorified.
Well, but you could. It doesn't have to be a horror movie for it to be glorified.
Can you give me an example?
Anything by Quentin Tarantino?
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, I mean...
One second.
Like, I didn't... I'm not a huge Quentin Tarantino fan. Liked Reservoir Dogs quite a bit, but like Pulp Fiction, Kill Bill, all of those totally glorify violence.
Okay, you're right.
So I don't think it's specific to horror that would be the case.
Good point.
I also think, and this is kind of where I thought it'd be interesting to discuss a little bit, I also think that one of the big issues around the horror genre is the fact that we're talking about fiction that intentionally is trying to invoke fear.
Yeah, that's interesting, because doesn't the Bible command us to not be afraid?
It does. Frequently, I was reading online today, I was doing a little research on this, and one of the things I came across, and I haven't fact-checked this, so somebody can tell me if this is way off and wrong, but that virtually every book in the Bible contains a command that says something along the lines of fear not or do not fear, something
like
that.
Oh, that's interesting.
So what's going on, and how do we resolve this apparent conflict?
Yeah, this is an interesting question, because if you think about horror, the whole point is to freak you out.
Right.
And it's exactly what the Bible is saying not to do. Don't be afraid.
Yeah, and so even if you're not, you say, well, you know, horror doesn't bother me, I can watch it without getting afraid, the intent on the part of the filmmakers, the novelists, whoever, is to invoke fear.
And somebody might say, well, I'm just entertained and I'm afraid there, but then I go home and it's fine. But that's not necessarily true. We've heard examples of, even from Rick, he had said some of these movies had a lasting impact on him. He saw it and then...
Yeah.
You know, and I think all of us can relate to that. We've seen something that messed with our heads. We went home and we were not comfortable being alone.
Yes. So I think that this is absolutely a legitimate objection to the genre. However, I don't think that it's always quite as problematic as it initially appears.
Elaborate.
And I would like to make the case as to why.
Let's do it.
Obviously, the Bible does frequently command us to fear not, or do not fear, or something like that. When I look at these verses about that, I see a few different features, and I want you to tell me if there's anything I'm missing here.
Okay.
So the first one is that I believe when the Bible commands us, fear not, do not fear, that number one, what the Bible is doing is that it is calling on us to trust God in the face of legitimate fear.
Okay.
In other words, fear is obviously a legitimate human emotion. God created us. It's not part of our fallen nature that we become afraid. It's just part of the human makeup and part of God's design for what it means to be human, is that we have this emotion, which we call fear, that we experience. Therefore, I draw the conclusion that the emotion in and of itself isn't evil.
Okay. Can we think of an example where Jesus worried, I think.
Yeah.
But I don't think he was fearful.
Well, I mean, a really practical, hands-down example, it's good that you're terrified of crossing the freeway on foot.
Interesting.
You know, just, I think that fear has a common sense place in a reality. It's a good thing that you're afraid of doing stupid things that could get yourself killed. You know, wandering into dark buildings in the middle of the night when you know there's a serial killer on the loose.
Okay.
Right. Just to tie it into the genre. You know, I think fear does serve a legitimate purpose in the human experience.
Okay.
You know, I'm not probably enough of a psychologist to elaborate more, but I think we can agree on the general point.
Okay.
So, therefore, I'd say what the Bible is telling us to do isn't don't experience an emotion, because emotions are what you have. They are what they are, kind of. You know, you experience what you feel. But what the Bible is saying is that when you experience these emotions, you need to be trusting God in the face of those emotions and not be overpowered by them.
I can get on board with that.
The second thing I think we need to look at in regards to the Bible's commands to fear not is that they're often tied to an experience like the angelic visitation in Luke chapter 2, where the angels show up for the shepherds, and all of a sudden, you know, they're out in the fields, and all these angels show up in the sky, and the first thing they tell them is, don't be afraid.
Yeah, I always think that's interesting, because, of course, even though we like angels because they're on God's side, if an angel appeared to any of us right now, it would freak us out.
Well, yeah. If an angel just appeared right here in between us while we're recording, I'd probably have to go change my pants.
Yeah, and then I would interview him on the Sci-Fi Christian.
Oh, yeah.
If we had an exclusive.
Oh, my gosh. God?
Yeah. Can you think how many new listeners we'd get if we had an exclusive with an angel?
I think we should do an interview with God sometime.
Well, it might be kind of quiet.
I'll see if I can book him for an interview on the Sci-Fi Christian.
But going back to the angels, yes. Supernatural visits are often started with, do not be afraid.
Yes. So I don't want to make the claim that this is the case and every time the Bible says don't be afraid, but I would say that when we look at something as broad as saying that every book in the Bible, or just about every book in the Bible, contains a command that says do not be afraid, a lot of those are going to be tied to a specific thing, so it's not quite as far-reaching as maybe that statistic first appears.
Okay.
And then the final point I would make is that I think that when you boil it right down, what the Bible is saying is that we are not to be ruled by a spirit of fear. In other words, there's a difference between experiencing fear and being controlled by fear.
Mm-hmm.
And this is really important when we talk about how does the horror genre affect us.
Okay.
So, for example, you sit down and watch a horror movie, and your reaction after it is that you're sitting alone at night in your bed, terrified. Well, you're obviously being ruled by fear
yeah.
at that point. And it wasn't a good thing for you to watch that movie. Somebody else could watch the same movie and they experience fear in the midst of it, but the emotion doesn't overpower them.
Mm-hmm.
And in that case, I don't see that as being problematic.
Okay. I agree with that in the sense that we talked about before. There's horror for entertainment where you're in the moment of the movie and then it ends and that's over.
Yes.
And then there's a whole new level when you can't stop thinking about a certain scene or you can't stop worrying that this is going to happen to you.
Yes. But I think there's even a third category we need to think in.
A third hidden category?
In terms of how, yes, a third hidden category in terms of what does the genre do for us in terms of causing fear? Because you mentioned entertainment and then you mentioned that sometimes it causes this overpowering fear.
Mm-hmm.
I also think that the genre can serve the purpose of helping us wrestle with this legitimate human emotion in a safe context.
Hmm, that's interesting. But is it legitimate if we watch a zombie movie, which is not likely to happen unless a crazy plague hits the earth?
Yeah, but it's not about being afraid of the zombie. It's about experiencing the emotion of fear in a safe, goofy context. And I use the word goofy not in the sense that it's always treated in a silly or comedic manner, mm-hmm. but just in the sense that the fact that what you just said is the very point. The fact that it's so unlikely that we're going to have a massive zombie outbreak, yeah. though I'm ready.
As am I.
I'm ready. You got your cricket bat.
Yep.
Awesome. Yep. We learned all the ways not to defeat zombies in Shaun of the Dead.
If I had seen Shaun of the Dead before we did our Messiah episode, I might have put him on as an honorable mention.
Oh, I think we need to add him.
Shaun is awesome.
He's so cool. Yeah. So great. And such a great character arc, too. I love that yeah. movie. But that's the point, is that because it's not as realistic, it gives us an outlet to project our fears onto something that's not realistic and then wrestle with the emotion in a psychologically helpful way and help us learn to manage our fear in that context first.
I think it makes sense. I'm looking forward to hearing more of your points. So I think maybe you're right because it's not as realistic all the time. Although, I mean, there are some horror movies that tackle very realistic.
Well, yeah, we touched on the whole natural
yeah,
horror.
Yeah, I mean, so I can see what you're saying.
Yeah, but even there, the odds of serial killers exist, the odds of us being abducted and murdered by a serial killer are fairly small.
Do you know what the odds are?
No. 1 in 10?
It's probably high where you live. This is kind of a dark like place that not a lot of people are. It'd probably take the police at least 10 minutes to get here.
Probably. Well, the police captain lives 2 doors down.
What if he'd already be dead? They would have went there first.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. We'll probably be dead within the hour.
Well, not us.
they're coming tonight, probably. So this will be the last episode ever of the Sci-Fi Christian.
How fitting.
Yes. So kind of to wrap up my points about fear, the bottom line for me is that as humans, we're going to experience fear. That's just a fact. We will experience this emotion as fear. And it is important that we learn to manage that emotion in a healthy context, whether horror, watching horror movies helps you do that, or some other way we learn to manage that emotion so that we are better able to obey the Bible's commands to trust God in the face of fear and to ultimately not be afraid.
Did you just say that watching horror movies could lead us to a more trustworthy relationship with God?
That's the argument I just made.
Wow. So we find God more reliable when we see more scary movies.
Possibly.
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 Perhaps.
Perhaps. Well, and that's where it comes down to is I'm not going to make a universal claim about this because some people are affected by the horror genre in such a negative way and it's going to make them go into really bad places with it.
Mm.
So I don't want to put a universal stamp on this.
I'm glad you didn't.
But for some people, the horror genre can be a legitimate tool in helping us better learn to not be afraid and therefore obey the Bible's commands to fear not.
You're smiling right now, so I don't know how serious you think this is.
No, I'm serious. I'm just proud that I took the greatest biblical objection to the horror genre and turned it on its head.
Very nice.
So, any objection?
You laid out a sound argument.
Wow.
So, I'm not going to object. I don't think it's universal, of course.
No, and neither do I.
I don't think it's possible to say that some people could gain a better reliance on God through it. Let me just give this mini example. Let's say I go and see a scary movie, and I go home, I'm thinking about it, I'm worried that something's going to attack me at my house. Who am I going to turn to?
Ghostbusters!
No, not Ghostbusters. Oh. God.
Who are you going to call?
And then, I start to learn, hey, it's not so bad. And he calms me. And he comforts me. Bam. I've just turn to God. Maybe these movies actually turn people to God more than a typical comedy.
Yeah.
Because if I leave a comedy, I'm not going to go home and pray that God protects me.
No.
But if I leave a horror movie, who knows?
You might.
I might.
Wow, you just took my argument and made it twice as good.
You're welcome.
Well done, sir.
You're welcome.
All right, so let's get down then to talking about... We laid out those three subgenres earlier.
Okay.
Let's talk about some specific issues in terms of spiritual pros and cons for each subgenre.
That sounds good, but when are we going to talk about if Jesus is a zombie?
How about we do that right now? Since okay. You're not going to shut up about this topic until we get this out of the way.
Yes, we've been talking about it for, I mean, the fans...
You mentioned it once.
Twice, and the fans have been asking.
No, who... Okay, can you name one fan who has asked you to do this topic?
Everywhere I go, people are like...
No. Specific... I want a name.
Is Jesus a zombie?
That's, name?
I can't think of anybody off the top of my head.
That's because they don't exist.
They're all strangers, listeners of the Sci-Fi Christian.
And they usually write their name when they send in.
So, Ben, let me just ask you this.
Yes, sir.
A zombie is a reanimated corpse.
Yes.
Jesus was resurrected, yes. But what, did he have a corpse? Yes. Was he reanimated? Yes. Ben, is Jesus a zombie?
No, because there's other characteristics about zombies beyond just that. Such as that they desire brains.
Okay, well... Is it, I mean, in Shaun of the Dead and in Zombieland, there was no talk of necessarily brains.
They were eating people.
Yes, whole people, not just their heads.
Okay, well, even besides, so Jesus obviously was not a cannibal about brains or anything else.
Interesting, because didn't he say, if you eat my body?
Oh my gosh, you're so not going here.
If you eat my body and if you drink my blood.
We are so moving on. Wow.
I'm just saying, fans, listeners, that is, I don't know how many fans we have left, but listeners.
Zero?
Write in and let us
know. I don't know how many fans you have. I used to be the jerk who everyone hates on this show, and you just like, wow. I can't believe you went there.
Was Jesus a zombie? That's the title of tonight's episode.
No, it's not. No, no, it's not the title, and no, he wasn't a zombie.
All right, but I would like if somebody just wrote in, if somebody could write in and help me with my case. I'm not, you know, I'm not saying Jesus was a zombie, but I'd like to see if somebody could try to fight for that argument.
I'm sure someone could. I don't think communion's the way to get there. Just saying.
All right, thank you for letting me take that short break.
Okay, so back to our main topic, which is not... Is Jesus a zombie? Because that is not the title of this episode.
All right.
Monster horror.
Oh.
We'll start with the easy
perfect.
One.
Perfect. That's what we're just talking about. I'd like to see somebody do a futuristic sci-fi movie about Jesus
okay.
as a zombie.
So,
okay.
Maybe we won't start with monster horror.
No, okay, monster horror. Go ahead.
Okay, so basically, we had mentioned earlier that this is probably the subgenre that Christians have the least amount of issues with.
Okay.
Here's why I think that is. I got a theory.
I have a theory also.
Ooh, you give your theory first.
I will. It's because it's the least believable. So natural. Everybody,
that's a good theory.
Everybody knows that serial killers are out there. Everybody knows there's horrible people in the world that are just crazy. Also, Christians know that there is a spiritual realm that's very real.
Yes.
Maybe even more real than what we experience in our day-to-day lives.
Yeah, and not just Christians. I mean, the vast majority of people who aren't atheists believe in some sort of spiritual realm.
Good point. So I would say the third... category of monster horror is the least likely to actually exist. I'm not saying it doesn't exist, but I tend to think if anybody thinks they've seen a ghost or if they think they've seen a vampire or a werewolf, I tend to think it is something brought on by...
We'll have to talk about ghosts on a future episode.
Okay, but I tend to think it's something that's brought on by a demon. Maybe in their mind, this is going on a whole new track, but I don't think demons can physically manifest. And I know, have we talked about this here or on the Life Report?
We talked about this briefly in our first episode, and yes, we need to have that debate sometime.
So I'm not saying that they can physically manifest as a werewolf. I'm saying they could mess with people's minds.
Sure.
So
I like your theory.
Okay,
I like it better than mine.
Oh, what's yours?
My theory was that in terms of, well, maybe that's related, but in terms of how Hollywood has handled these movies, you go back to like the Universal... monster classics, The Mummy,
yeah.
Frankenstein, all of those, they are really campy and really cheesy in how they were done. So I think that it kind of got worked into our cultural subconscious that these types of movies aren't necessarily, they're horror, but they're not terrifying horror. They're more goofy, a little bit cheesy.
I do think that.
Yeah, and maybe that's why. Maybe it's because they're the least believable that it worked that way.
Good.
So...
That's what we agree.
Yeah, I like your elaboration a little bit better than mine, though.
I'll try to elaborate less in the next 2 points.
So you can sound good. Yeah, we need to boost my ego okay. here a bit. So natural horror. And on this one, I have a few spiritual pros and a few spiritual cons.
Okay.
In other words, I think there's some ways where spiritually, from a Christian perspective, this type of subgenre can be very negative, and a few ways where it can be very positive.
We have in front of me a picture of Chief, the one that we talked about, that's been signed. And I keep looking back and forth between your eyes and the Chief's eyes from Battlestar Galactica, and I don't know.
He's just staring at you?
Yeah, it's creeping me out. Can you move that picture?
Sure. What about Darth Tater? Is he okay?
He's fine, because Chief is real.
We'll be right back to our regular scheduled topic as soon as I turn around Chief here. Oh my gosh, Chief, you're right.
Yeah,
he's looking at me now, and he's a very piercing gaze.
Is it Chief Tyrell? Is
that Tyrell.
Tyrell.
Yeah.
So we have a signed autographed picture from him. Anyways, continue.
How about Admiral Sackbar? No. Is he okay?
Admiral Sackbar is fine.
I didn't realize that I've got this whole ensemble that's facing
they're
you.
All watching me.
Wow, that's kind of creepy.
Okay.
I was wondering how you were going to tie that into natural horror, and it turns out you weren't. So I will just move on back to our main topic. Spiritual cons.
Okay.
The natural horror genre often has a heavy focus on gore. I'm thinking of things like the Saw franchise.
Okay.
Where, we're going to do a serial killer, so naturally we're going to show a whole bunch of people just being chopped up.
Mutilated.
And mutilated for the sake of being really violent.
Mangled.
Which, I guess, in Rick's mind, is a pro. But sorry, Rick. A cheap shot and you're not even here to defend yourself. But in the minds of a lot of people, that's just kind of disgusting and bothersome.
Right.
I also think that what we were talking about a minute ago, that this subgenre kind of hits a little too close to home. The fact that, there could be a serial killer down the street, and that can kind of feed into that overpowering terror that isn't helpful in helping us to get to the point where we're able to trust God better.
Okay.
So that's why the genre is bad.
Okay.
Here's why it can be good.
Okay.
I think that at its best, this subgenre can help us to examine evil in our natural world. In other words, the evil in this horror genre is very, very realistic.
Mm-hmm.
It's real people doing real acts of evil that could legitimately happen.
Okay.
So it helps us to process, in a fictional context, the evil that exists in the world around us.
That's interesting. And so you think that's a pro, that it gets us thinking about the horribleness in our real world?
Not in the sense that it makes us think about it, but the fact that because we're already thinking about these things anyway, because we're aware that they happen in our world, that evil exists, it helps us to process those things in a helpful way.
I'm going to argue with this. Because even though I know murderers exist, we keep going back to murderers, but that's just...
Well, that's kind of a big thing here.
So even though I know murderers exist, I don't necessarily think about it all the time, and I don't even know if I want to. I don't want necessarily entertainment to remind me of crazy people that could actually want to kill me.
Well,
in fact, besides being afraid, I'm not just saying be afraid, but I've left movies with just an uneasy feeling, and I'm not saying I was scared and I was hiding. It just, you leave unsettled.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's necessarily good.
Can I give you an example?
Yes.
Okay. Hannibal Lecter.
Okay.
A perfect example of this. Hannibal Lecter is a really good guy. He is a kind, intelligent human being who happens to eat people.
No, he's not a good guy.
No, but what I'm saying is that he's an evil man who, if it wasn't for the fact that he liked to eat people, would be a very good guy. This is what makes the character so fascinating. And this exists all around us in the world of people who have a lot of good qualities, but then those good qualities are corrupted by their fallen nature, by sin, by evil that exists inside of us.
Okay.
By looking at a character like Hannibal Lecter and being fascinated by that inconsistency and that sharp contrast, it helps us to work through resolving that conflict of how can somebody with so many good qualities also be fallen and sinful and evil in so many different ways. I think that's a helpful thing to ponder.
I don't feel as strongly as you do, but that's okay.
From a philosophical standpoint.
Okay.
So that's all I'm getting at, but I do agree with you that it can cause an unhealthy obsession with those types of things.
That's not even what I'm not necessarily saying it can create an obsession. I'm saying...
Just that uneasy...
Do you really want to make yourself relive things that, even if there is horribleness in the world? Okay, how about this? I think sometimes it's good to think about the poverty in the world because then it could bring you to make a change.
Yeah.
But serial killers, we can't typically fight against them. I mean, that's a problem that exists, that only certain types of crime fighting, I'm not saying superheroes, but like, you know,
only Batman can solve.
You know, criminal justice people can solve that. But so we could bring an end to hunger, but we can't bring an end to people killing other people.
Yeah, and I'm thinking maybe a little less specifically about serial killers and more just in terms of the psychological realities that are more universal, like that juxtaposition we see in Hannibal. But I agree with what you're saying. Good point. So I think that this one, spiritual prose, are maybe a little bit weaker and has a greater potential to be negative than some of the other subgenres.
But supernatural, this is the one that's
really
good.
This is where we're onto the big one. So, Rick made a great point earlier about how, whether it's handled accurately or not, this can be a really disturbing genre for people.
I agree. And he took the words out of my mouth, actually.
Yes. I think that this, in terms of spiritual cons for this subgenre, I think this subgenre is the one that's probably the most likely to cause an unhealthy obsession with evil and with dark forces.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, I went and saw this movie about ghosts and demons. I'm going to go buy a Ouija board and start communicating with the dead.
Yeah, that's horrible.
Yeah, so I think that right there, in terms of unhealthy influence, this one more than all the other subgenres has the potential to do things like that.
What do you think Ouija boards are? Do you think it's demons controlling it?
I think that I don't want to find out.
But I'm asking you, what do you think? Because I was taught growing up in church that it was demons, but who knows?
I think that when you are consciously sitting there trying to communicate with the dead or with the spiritual realm in a not talking to God type of way, obviously prayer is a good way of doing that, but when you're trying to communicate with the supernatural realm, whether Ouija boards are in and of themselves demonic, you are opening yourself up to the spiritual realm in a way that's not sanctioned by God and isn't healthy and could very well lead to demonic influence.
Good.
So, are they in and of themselves demonic? I don't know if I would say that. Do they open you up to the demonic realm when you use them? Yep.
I think that's a good explanation. Instead of just saying it is bad, the idea of opening yourself up is bad.
But in terms of how, you know, we talk, it's better to be overly cautious on that end of saying the whole thing is bad than on the other end. So
yeah, that's good.
Wouldn't necessarily.
So don't buy
disagree.
Them.
Yeah,
listeners,
don't buy them.
Throw them away if you have one.
Yeah,
immediately.
Immediately, but first finish listening to our episode.
Oh, yeah.
I also think that in terms of the fact that this genre is so real to so many of us, that we do believe in spiritual forces, that it can be unhelpful in causing that unhealthy obsession with terror and with being overcome by that spirit of fear that we were talking about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
That fear can be too overpowering in this subgenre in a way that it isn't necessarily with the others.
Because it's a legitimate fear.
Yeah, because it's legitimate that, oh my gosh, there's demons and demons are real, and now I just saw this creepy movie about demons and now I'm laying awake wondering if there's demons in my room that are about ready to possess me, and holy crap, this is terrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then my final con here is the other thing Rick alluded to, in that this subgenre, I think, is the one that runs the greatest risk of making us take the darkness and take evil lightly.
Are you saying because in the same way that werewolf and vampire movies can be portrayed goofy, that somebody could portray demons in the spiritual realm more goofy?
Right. We reduce demons to not a real spiritual reality that we have to deal with, but to something that's, you know, CGI'd and done by Hollywood special effects house and all of that. And so it's no longer a spiritual reality that the Bible teaches us about. It's it's just yet another character in Hollywood.
Yeah, I'm thinking Ghostbusters 1. Have you seen that?
Yeah, but that's so goofy.
I know, exactly. Yeah. That's exactly what you're saying. It is goofy. It's a demon that they're just...
Well, they're ghosts.
No. There's actually a demon that possesses that girl. I think Susan Sarandon.
Oh, I didn't like the movie.
Oh, okay.
But I guess I wouldn't be too worried about Ghostbusters, because I think it's...
I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying I think that's an example of making it...
Sure.
Thank you.
Good point.
Finally, I get some respect around here.
Well, the one who was talking about communion being like cannibalism, dude.
No, I don't stand strong on that point, but I think we do need to go back to the zombie thing.
Oh, okay. Maybe we'll do that in a couple of years.
Okay.
Spiritual prose, because I don't think that this subgenre is all bad. I think that this subgenre does show a very clear distinction between good and evil.
Okay.
In other words, it's very clear that demons are evil, and that they're, even if the good forces and God's presence is maybe downplayed a little bit because it's a horror movie and so we're focusing on the terror type of things, it is very clear that there's a distinction between good and evil, between God and the devil.
So you think it's good that they're bringing to light this idea that there is really a battle going on between good and evil.
Yes.
So bringing that revelation to people can be a good thing.
Yeah, and it helps raise our awareness of spiritual warfare, potentially. Have you seen The Exorcism of Emily Rose?
Absolutely not. Have you not been listening to anything on this episode? You know me. No, yes. I haven't seen it.
This is a movie that I've talked to a lot of Christians who are bothered by it, but this movie was made by people who are Christians.
Okay.
And
isn't it based on a true...
It's very, very, very loosely based on true story, so I wouldn't... to the extent where that's not even really worth discussing about in there, because I've read some of the stuff on the actual case, and it's like 100% different than what was in the movie. But the movie flat out says that demons are real and you need to take spiritual warfare seriously, and that's the point of the movie, is to communicate that message.
It's kind of a good message to communicate.
Absolutely. I don't blame people who are bothered by it, but I'm thinking not so much in terms of Christians, but in terms of people who are maybe agnostic, on the fence about spiritual matters. That's a really good message to have out there in the culture, and it's a good reminder, especially in our modernist post-Enlightenment age.
Yeah, I think it's important for all of us to realize that as much as we want to pretend like the spiritual stuff isn't happening around us, it really is.
Absolutely. So, I don't know if we're really coming to a definitive conclusion on this genre outside of the fact that it's, well, it kind of depends on the person a little bit, but it can be helpful spiritually.
Well, I think we should talk a little bit more about the supernatural when it comes to demons. So how do you think like a movie about an exorcism, what message does that convey to a public that doesn't believe in Christianity? Like, do you think that would lead people to believe that just that anybody can be possessed? Or, I mean, does it give people an untrue view of what the spiritual realm and Christianity is like? Because it's good that it teaches us about good and evil, but what if it teaches them something that has similarities to our beliefs, but something that's just really messed up and not really close at all?
I think you almost have to take it on a case-by-case basis. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's say that you're an atheist or an agnostic or something like that, that's sitting there watching one of these movies. You're probably not going to come away from it convinced of its specific theology, but you may come away, even if the theology is kind of screwed up, convinced that this is something you need to think a bit more about.
Investigate
further.
I would like that.
So it could point you in the direction of biblical truth, even if its theology is kind of whacked.
Yeah, I like when people investigate things for themselves.
Absolutely.
You and I aren't going to convince people what to believe. No movie's going to do it. They need to look into it themselves.
Yeah, so I think that, I think there's a legitimate concern with what you're saying, but I think that it can be helpful in pointing people in the right direction.
Very good, Ben.
Yes. So then kind of the last thing I wanted to talk about was to get back to, I wanted to talk a little bit about Shaun of the Dead.
Oh,
because great. I think this is a great example of a horror movie that does something very similar to what we've talked about with sci-fi and fantasy. In other words, it kind of transcends the genre and actually speaks about some really deep themes, despite its genre, that really have nothing to do with the fact that it's specifically horror. And what I'm getting at here is that Sean's character arc in the movie is one of kind of the masculine journey.
Good. Can we do this with no spoilers, or do we have to give a spoiler warning here?
I think we can go with light spoilers.
Light spoilers ahead.
Yes. And so my point here, as we discuss Shaun of the Dead, is in light of everything else we've talked about the specifics of how the horror genre as a whole can be helpful, I also want to make the point that horror movies, in the same way that fantasy and science fiction movies do, can just communicate good messages to us, regardless of their specific genre.
Okay.
So, Shaun of the Dead, I'd love to hear more of your thoughts on it.
All right. Well, thank you. Shaun of the Dead, a movie I watched this past Sunday. Well, of course it was funny because I like British humor.
And it has Simon Pegg in it.
Simon Pegg was good. Let's see. So what exactly do you want me to do? Give you a synopsis?
No, I'm just curious in terms of what themes jumped out at you. You were mentioning earlier that Sean kind of occurred to you as a messianic figure.
Yeah, what I like to see, and you mentioned he had a hero's journey.
Yes.
He starts out kind of a loser.
Oh, yeah.
And the movie doesn't take place in like a long amount of time, just a couple days.
Yeah.
And so he's forced into a situation where he has to act, and he chooses the heroic path instead of the bumbling coward path.
Yeah.
And there are other characters that in the movie that would fill that role instead. And so...
Yeah, because at the beginning of the movie, I mean, they draw up the metaphor pretty quick that there's not that much difference between the way Sean is living his life and being a zombie. You know, that right. He's basically the walking dead.
Exactly. Yeah. Even in the way that they make him walk sometimes just for the sake of...
Yeah, he's humor. Slow and yeah. He's bumbling. It's hysterical.
Yeah, and so... I loved watching him in such a short period of time really evolve into this hero.
Yeah.
Somebody you could really get behind.
Absolutely. And that's what I love about the movie.
Even though it's humor, there were some pretty emotional scenes.
Yeah.
So it was kind of crazy like how they went in a lot of different directions with this.
Yeah. I think that we need to do a full-on Shaun of the Dead episode at some point.
All right.
And maybe soon, since it's fresh in your mind. Yeah. And you probably won't want to rewatch it because it's not your favorite genre.
Right.
But, man, I love that movie.
It's a good one.
Yeah. So, great example of a way that a horror movie can communicate deep themes to us, even though it is in the horror genre.
Yeah, this one did make you want to... It makes you want to step up. So, if a crisis comes, you need to step up and... Take the heroic path and not the cowardly path.
Absolutely. So, Matt, where does that leave us then?
It leaves us with this, Ben. Horror movies aren't all bad, but they're definitely not all good. There's some things that are good about them, some things that are bad. I think you have to check yourself and figure out, is this the right genre for you? For me, I'm going to say no. And mostly because of my taste and my lack of enthusiasm about gruesome killing. But also, I don't like leaving feeling unsettled. Some people might be able to see it and feel fine. I'm guessing you're one of those types of people.
Well, you know, I agree completely with everything you just said. I am much more open to the horror genre than you. I've read virtually everything Stephen King's written. Mm-hmm. So that tells you right there where I stand on the genre. But there are some works in the genre that do leave me bothered, that I'm not interested in watching again.
You know, we didn't talk about books at all, but I'm glad you brought that up because... Excuse me, I've read books that were horror-esque, and even though you can't see the images in word form,
yeah,
I've been left with images on my brain, because sometimes that can stick with you even more than a scene you see in a movie. So
I have not seen the movie version of The Exorcist, but I've read the book,
okay. And
holy crap, yeah. it really bothered me when I read it, and I would not want to read it again.
Yeah, so some things can mess you up. So I guess for me, I don't want to be left with those images. I don't want to be left with unsettling feelings. I just, in general, I avoid. But, like you said, Shaun of the Dead had some good messages that you can get out. So I'm sure there's other movies that have good messages.
Yeah, where I would leave it is to go back to what we were saying about fear. That for some people, certainly not for everyone, the horror genre could be a good tool for helping you process fear in a healthy way. If it can be that for you... Great. If it's something that's just really bothering you and it makes you overwhelmed by fear and it's really negative in your life, avoid it.
Yeah, and as with most things in life, if it turns you to God, good. If it turns you away from God, then just stay away from it.
I don't think we could say it any better than that.
I don't either.
Should we get to some listener feedback then before we wrap up the show?
Let's do it.
All right.
Is this the right music?
Whoops.
No, that's okay.
Not the right music.
Oh.
I'm just clicking the wrong things today, man.
I know, it's all right.
Gotta get on my game for the last 5 minutes of the show.
No problem.
So, we got, as usual, Talon Gwynn, who, if you don't know about Talon, then you should listen to our last episode because yes. He's awesome and everyone should know about him. Talon sent us another response paper that he wrote for his homeschool curriculum.
I saw it this morning.
Yes, and it's some good stuff. Basically, in terms of the superhero movie last week, he pretty much agreed with everything we said, which was cool.
So that's exactly what we want all of our listeners.
No, absolutely, really. Yeah. If you don't agree with us, no, what's wrong with
that's
you?
That's not true.
No, we enjoy debate.
Actually, that's more true. We love strong debates.
I was going to say, if anybody's listened to our show so far, they should probably know that we enjoy debate.
So let's challenge Talon to prove us wrong in horror.
Yeah. one of the things, though, that Talon did say that I wanted to highlight, because he's kind of reading our mind here, is that we had done, if you didn't listen to last week, we did State of the Superhero Movie.
Mm-hmm.
And Talon said, I think you guys should do an episode of sci-fi movies in general rather than just superheroes. There have been some great new sci-fi movies released, Inception, Star Trek. And Talon, you're totally reading our mind, because one of the things I said to you last week was, hey, I really enjoyed doing the superhero, State of the Superhero movie.
Yeah.
We should do this for, like, fantasy movies, State of the Fantasy movie, State of the Sci-Fi movie.
Or State of the Space Adventure.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, sci-fi people
might
mostly...
be too broad.
Yeah, mostly people think of sci-fi as space, Star Wars, Star Trek, but that's not really what... Obviously, the show proves that it's a lot of things.
Totally. I think great thought on that, Talon. And then the last piece of listener feedback that I wanted to get to was from Colin in the UK. And he had a question for us about the upcoming Judge Dredd movie, which I think we talked about a few episodes ago.
Briefly, I think.
He was asking first for our opinion of it, in terms of do we think it's going to be better than the stupid Sylvester Stallone movie.
I don't think there's any way it can't be. And also, the main actor.
Carl Urban.
Yes, I think he's awesome in Star Trek. I think he's going to be...
Oh, he was so good in Star Trek.
I think he's going to be a great Judge Dredd.
Yeah, so I'm cautiously optimistic. Colin, I can't answer your question too much, or neither of us can answer your question too much better than that, because we haven't read the Judge Dredd comic books.
Oh, and that's true. I haven't.
2000 AD. Thank you, Colin, because I was trying to figure out what the name of it
was. We were kind of debating that.
We were trying to figure out what the name was. So, Colin, to the rescue here. Then Colin pointed out this kind of cool thing in terms of a potential episode when you and I eventually... gain more knowledge of Judge Dredd.
Yeah.
He said that Judge Dredd could also feature as a fictional character in your clone episode. Dredd was the only successful clone in his batch. In fact, his brother was evil, and he eventually killed him. Shades of Cain and Abel.
I had no idea that Judge Dredd was a clone.
Neither did I.
Wow. Hey, I love the way that Colin ends his emails.
Oh, yeah. The Live Long and Podcast.
Yeah, Live Long and Podcast. That's
great stuff.
That's great, Colin.
So here's... there's a couple different directions we could go in this, as I was thinking, because I like the idea. We could either do a Judge Dredd episode based on some of the biblical comparisons Colin's drawing out, or we could do an episode of drawing out... and I'm just thinking of this now, so stay with my brain here, of drawing out, like, different biblical stories and which sci-fi property best fits Cain and Abel. And we could just choose a few stories, like which sci-fi fantasy film best fits Noah. And we could just choose a few of those for an episode and highlight them.
Oh,
so
that's
that could be cool.
Idea. That's one we can just start to think about, gather up all our ideas.
So still in early stages of planning.
Colin also mentioned our upcoming clone topic podcast, and we actually were going to do this a couple of weeks ago, and we put it off just so we could prepare better, and also Talon had put it on his list of potential show ideas, so we still have to hear back from Talon about what episode he wants to do live in Colorado in a couple months.
Totally.
So, but yeah, if you guys have any thoughts on cloning, what it means to Christians, or just what it means in general, email in your feedback to feedback@scifichristianpodcast.com.
Or call us at 612-412-1732. And you can always visit us on the web at scifichristianpodcast.com. Well, Matt, great discussion today about horror. Are you on board with being a fan of the genre now?
Not really. Not more than I was when we started, but I did appreciate your research that you did in discussing this.
Well, thank you, sir. And we will be back next week with more on the Sci-Fi Christian.
That's correct.
For now, I am Ben DiBono.
And I'm Matt Anderson, and we are the Sci-Fi Christians, signing off.